But this is the time in the show when we talk stick and puck. We talk hockey with our friend Daryl Razor Ray, who's about to go on a long road trip with those Dallas Stars. And Razor, you are to be congratulated.
Oh.
Good job being on the committee that this week unveiled the new Stars jersey, the alternate jersey that they will wear in the Winter Classic on New Year's Day at the Cotton Bowl against Nashville. A shout-out to the hockey tradition here in the Metroplex. And I was familiar with the Dallas Freeze. I was not that familiar with the Dallas team that played here in the 1940s, but this is a shout-out to that team, the old Dallas Texans, who had the D in the middle of their logo.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those are really, really sharp.
No, that's good to hear.
You did a good job on that.
Well, I did most of it. There were other people involved, but it was mostly – I like to refer to myself as the Tom Ford, the Brunello Cuccinelli of jerseys in the league.
You just scratch down some notes on a napkin, just say, yeah, something like this, and they came up with that.
Let's make this happen right here. People! People, get to work!
And this week –
you know what? It was fun. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that our owner, Tom Gilardi, really has a phenomenal eye for detail with sweaters and with uniforms or kits or whatever you want to call them. When we were turning it over, when he first purchased the team and they redid the regular uniforms, I mean, the things that he sees, suggests, says no to, and you look back on, you're just like, wow. I don't know how many owners are that involved in the look of their team and how they drape themselves, but he is, and the great thing about him too is that it's not just okay, everyone sits around and nods their head and says yes to the owner. Like, he wants your feedback, and it was a democracy, and everybody had a hand in this thing. It wasn't like my idea is the best idea. So it was fun to do that, but he deserves an awful lot of credit.
This week was the 78th anniversary of the Texans' first game played on November 6th, 1941.
Aren't those old pictures awesome, too?
Yeah.
The old black and whites.
And was that down at Fair Park? Is that where
I
they played?
So. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
And as Junior and I mentioned the other day, we're really looking forward to January 1st. Nashville is also with the throwback-like look to the Dixie Flyers of the 1940s, I guess, as well. Both teams are going to look great. The Cotton Bowl, such a great venue, and a hockey game played at the Cotton Bowl. That's hard for a Texan to get their mind around, but it's really going to be awesome on January 1st.
It is. We'll keep our fingers crossed that it doesn't rain. We can handle everything but rain.
Yeah.
And even if January 1st wasn't optimal, they can push it off a day. And we just have it on the second. They've done that a couple of times with the Winter Classic already. But I have all the confidence in the world that it's going to be a good day for outdoor hockey and 80,000 plus in there. It's crazy to think. And it'll just look phenomenal. The throwback jerseys and that place packed. Everyone's looking forward to it.
All right. And this team is to be congratulated, too. It's still got a long way to go, and this is a really long season. But winning 7 of 8, 4 straight now, going back to the Minnesota turnaround or whatever we're calling it when they were down.
Miracle.
The miracle. Yeah, there you go. The Minnesota miracle when they're down 3-0 and then come back with 6 straight goals. That was really inspiring for this team, as we talked about last week. And they still got a ways to go, but, hey, they have a fighting chance now that they've made it all the way back to .500.
Yeah, the analytics will say that the high danger scoring chances against have been trimmed, and expected goals and all these fancy stats that they like to talk about. But you come to me for the Razorlytics usually, do you not, Jubb?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the old eyeballs.
Oh, yeah.
And the eyeballs will just tell you that they stopped the watching and the waiting and just started doing and sort of embraced a harder edge hockey. The hockey that we saw down the stretch last year and on into the playoffs when they were playing terrific and they were a goal away from ending up in the Western Conference Final. And for whatever reason, over the first few weeks of the season, I don't know whether it was a case of, okay, I'm waiting for you to do it. I'm waiting, you know, we have new guys in here. Maybe I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Whatever it was, they were just not together. It didn't seem like they were together mentally or physically. And ever since, first the game in Philadelphia that they just had to win, and it gave them a victory because they were really spiraling and circling the urinal cake there for a while. And then finally they won a game, and it seemed to relieve some people. And then there were still some hiccups along the way, and you point to that game against the Wild. And really, that was the impetus of all of this, where they were getting crushed by a team they should have beat soundly. And they turned it around, scored six goals in short order, and they've never looked back since and been just phenomenal and played great. I mean, not just, okay, it looks better. Like, they have the second-best record in the league since then. Since the 19th of October, they've spun this thing around to where they're the best defensive team and their second-best team overall, and those two things usually go hand-in-hand with this group. So hopefully this one game in 1 week little schedule respite doesn't stop them in their tracks, and they can pick up where they left off when we start this Western swing through Western Canada on Sunday. And I think they will. But, man, it's been so much more enjoyable over the last couple of weeks as to what it was when we started the season and they were stumbling and bumbling.
Boy, and I give Monty some credit, too, because he didn't freak out.
Yeah.
He was stand-up about it. The Hardlines talked about it. I think right in the middle of that terrible slump, they were scheduled to talk to him, and they were like, you know, if you want to skip this week, it's okay. There are all sorts of reports out there. Hey, his job's on the line, and he never wavered. And I think in any sport, that's one of the toughest things to do is once it starts going one way, to somehow stop it and get it going mm-hmm. back the other way. We've seen it with the Rangers. We've seen it with the Cowboys and the Mavericks. To do that in the course of a couple of weeks is – that's like your biggest challenge in coaching.
He, as you know, he's a very positive guy. He's energetic. He believes in what he believes in. I think most successful coaches are that. But you start not having the success that you expected, and it must make them pause and question themselves and think, well, maybe I should change this. Maybe I should change that. Maybe I wasn't right about this. And to their credit, they had a big tent meeting where they had their piece or said their piece. Players gave some feedback. So it's not my way, the highway idea. That's old school. This is more nouveau. And out of that, it took a little while. If you thought it was going to work brilliantly just coming out of this meeting, they would have smoked the Wild immediately, but it took them a couple periods to get going in that one. So it was a delayed effect, I guess. but he's a really good coach. Like he's a really good coach. And it was nice to see this thing get turned around because I don't think he wavered that much from what he believes. But at the same time, he took in some feedback and they altered a couple of things. And appeased maybe a few people, and with that they've taken off and are rolling here again. So good on him.
You mentioned the schedule. One game this week, the nice win over Colorado on Tuesday night, and won't play again until Sunday afternoon in Winnipeg. And then you go Winnipeg, Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton. Is this your favorite trip of the year?
It's up there. I enjoy the swings. Partially because the team has historically done well on these trips through Western Canada. I think getting into a all-encompassing hockey environment, I mean, you can't get away from it. The highlights are deep in the morning on their sports stations up there on TSN and what have you. So, and the media coverage, just everything. I think they feel like, almost like going back to when they were kids, when you head to a tournament. Honestly, that's what it feels like. Like you're going to this big round robin tournament in Western Canada, and it brings out the best in a lot of them. We enjoy it, broadcasting it. You know, there's a vibe around the games and even practices and off days, and you see some of the parents of our Western Canadian players. Back in the day, we were heavy with them. We seemed to have more from the Eastern Canadian province of Ontario, more so than in Western Canada. But it's a fun trip. This one, and then heading out to Montreal and playing at the Bell Center. This year we're there on a Saturday night, which is phenomenal. So
yeah, we got to see that a couple of years ago. That was awesome.
You did, yes.
Loved Montreal.
Well, it's one thing on a Tuesday, I think, when you guys were there. It's a completely different animal. It feels like on a weekend or on Saturday night, and it's hockey night in Canada, and everybody's all pumped up. So looking forward to that one this year.
When you do make it to Edmonton, do they do a special announcement?
Yeah, they do. There's usually a tribute video for
welcome,
me.
Welcome, welcome, back.
Yeah, which
Darryl,
is Darryl, understandable.
Ray,
great.
The organ plays and everybody goes crazy.
Yeah, they'll probably try to get me and Gretz to do something together again.
We both
left there at the same time. A lot of people think that was the end of the era. I went to Hartford, he went to LA.
It's kind of like when the Beatles broke up.
Yeah, a little bit. I know they did win one more cup in 1990. I don't know how they did that without us.
I don't either.
But they did, but they haven't won since. So
the curse of Razor.
Yes.
All right, hey, we do have a long-range forecast, and you know how accurate these can be for January 1st.
Yeah.
Fernando has it.
This is from AccuWeather. This obviously can change, but right now they're saying cloudy, high of 53, so at face-off we're probably looking at 45 degrees.
That is perfect.
No rain.
As no rain. Now. Rain no. Leading up the 3 days beforehand, but not that day.
Okay.
Well, that'll just make better ice. It'll be more gelid.
Ooh. I like that word.
Don't you love that word?
And if it's cloudy, if there's a little overcast, no glare for the goalies.
Oh, see, we're always looking out for the goalies.
Well, I used to use that as an excuse at times on indoor games where I would say,
the dang lights are in my eyes.
The media would ask me what happened on that goal, and I'd say, well, the sun was in my eyes. So.
Oh, Razor. We love talking hockey with you, and we'll hear you on Sunday afternoon from Winnipeg as the Stars try to continue their hot streak. Have a good trip and have a good week.
Yeah, I'm all done with the load management. Time to get back to work.
Yes, sir.
All right.
We'll see you.
See you, Jeb.
There he goes. Darryl Razor Ray.
Hey, Razor. Razor about hockey?
He's not spiking to you. He didn't want to talk to you.
I'm not spiking to you.